Part 1. Chapter 1. 3 years later. 1 a.m. Saturday. My breathing quickens, and I realize I'm panting, pre-race jitters. Racing is your job now, I remind myself, readying my game face in the bathroom mirror. It's not a mask. I've worn it for too many years now. It's a knife. A blade. All angles sure to cut. I'll smile. I'll keep all my fear undercover. You're invincible, damn it. Who else, aside from Benny, back in his prime, has won every race they've ever entered? No one. Who else is immune? Who else could ask to be tested any day of the week and pass, always? No one. Too bad that last thought does me no good. I'd give my blood to Avon if I could, alone and sick at home. She's not contagious anymore, so we don't have to worry about her getting arrested. But the virus is no less deadly just because she's not contagious. In only 2 months, her tumor's grown bigger than an egg, bulging out from the base of her skull. Someone as good as she is shouldn't be dying. Someone like me, I should be dying. You're a sellout, my mind hisses. At my wrist, my DI-issued cuffcom trills. 30 minutes till flags go down. Time to check in. The Blues don't like it when their precious moles are late. One quick glance to make sure the bathroom is empty, and I duck into a stall. I play around with my brass headset till it fits comfortably, a few purple and lime kinks of hair buoying out the sides. But there's no fixing that. I stopped trying for pretty long ago. Pretty won't win races. Pretty don't get respect. I take a deep breath to still my nerves. I'll never get used to this, I think, and flip open the comm. Crouched over the toilet seat, I punch in Chief Dunn's number at headquarters and look down into the murky water. To think, people used to fill toilet bowls with fresh, pissing into a pot you can drink out of. Unbelievable. The earbud crackles as I talk into the mouthpiece. Come in. Come in, Chief Dunn at HQ. Mole. That's what I've become. The very word makes me shake, even after all this time. 3 years ago, Avon and I planned our escape from Nails. Avon had just started to wheeze, and we could feel the tumor. She'd be unadoptable, and no one was going to pick me for their daughter, so it made sense. I botched it all, though. Borrowed fresh from the orphanage stores for the road, and Nail called the Blues on us. I was the only one they caught. Avon got left behind. A great big heli swooped down, netted me, but never even saw her, dizzy and tired 100 feet back. Flew me away like a stork with a baby bundle, all the way to the Division Interials headquarters for jailing. I wasn't bothered by the jailing, though. No, I was more bugged that they'd take my blood, figure out I was immune, and turn me into a froggy experiment. So I offered to work for them, whatever they needed. I asked to be a mole. Still makes me want to spit. As it turned out, they needed someone who knew the lay of the land and could scout the ward's dangerous quadrants for freshwater. A racer, for instance. And here I landed in their lap, an orphan, a ward of the state, totally disposable. If I got sick, they could find someone else. The line sputters, levels into a low buzz. Quadrant, a recording prompts, and I punch 10 into my cuffcom. Like always, the recording reminds me to report to Chief Dunn immediately after the race, as if I'd suddenly forget. The bathroom door creaks open. Brack, I curse to myself, flipping my cuffcom shut. Who's in here? I wait for the line to go dead, then hop out of the stall before anyone could have heard me. My mole status stays a secret, even if I'm just looking for fresh. No one likes the Blues. I'd be hated by the other racers, more than I already am. In walks the dreaded duo. Dragster girlfriends. Their platform shoes knock against the floor. And by way of the mirror's reflection, I see Tansy first, faux-hawked, with one ear full of metal hoops, bars, and studs. Then comes Neela, all infinite legs and waterfall hair. All flaunt. No confetti spiral do like I got. No dusky, freckled skin, or eyes that are half open, half closed all the time. It kills me to say it, but the other racers have hot girlfriends. I bet they're even nice. To people they don't hate so much, that is.
That's right, scamper off.
Tansy, the taller of the two she-devils, hisses, running a hand through her tawny do. And I do leave. But not because she told me to.